I know me and my wife got some help this week, and I just thank God because he's taking the time to show us some things and spend time with us, and also to reassure us that everything's going to be okay as long as we put our trust in him. And we need to stop relying on ourselves, stop trusting in ourselves. The more we trust in ourselves, the more we find ourselves on our face. And that's not a good position to be, but I just thank God for this week. It definitely I got a lot more than I expected. And I thank God for it. I just thank God for his mercy and his grace. If you would, please turn with me to Hosea chapter 2. I'm going to read two verses here. And I just know the Lord gave me this message, and it's a good one. He's working with me on this very thing. And I think there's a lot of compromises in the churches today. And on this very thing right here. Anyway, we're going to get into Hosea 2, chapters 19 and 20. And it says, I will betroth thee unto me forever.
Yes.
Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, in judgment, in loving kindness, and in mercies.
Yes.
Verse 20, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness.
Amen.
And thou shalt know the Lord.
Amen.
Betroth means to contract anyone in the order of a future marriage to promise or pledge one to the future spouse of another. And I'm just going to say here tonight that if you're saved, God is talking about the future marriage of his people. He's talking about saved people today who we are the Lord's bride. We see in Revelation 19:7-8, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Are you ready tonight? Do you have that? It is well with my,
right,
it is well with my soul.
Hey,
do you have that blessed assurance? Anyway, let me go. The verse 8 says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and clean and white, and for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. We are the Lamb's bride. And the book of Revelation talks about us, the Lamb's wife, making herself ready. In Hosea, the Lord speaks of betrothing us and making a promise to us that one day he will come back for his wife. He's going to come back for his bride. And in the meantime, he's preparing his bride, making her ready for his return. As a bride adorns herself for the groom, changes must be made. Promises must be made of faithfulness. As the bride wants to look good for her groom when he comes for her, that should be the desire of the Christian preparing for the return of Jesus. Are you preparing yourself for the coming of Jesus Christ?
Right, bro. Amen.
Are you being faithful? He's going to come back.
Yes,
whether you're his or not, he's coming back. And if you're his, are you preparing yourself for when he does return? Let me go on here. It says, as the bride wants to look good for her groom when he comes for her, that should be the desire of a Christian preparing for the return of Jesus. And as a bride at the altar would make herself ready in appearance and in heart, so should that be our desire. Jesus does not want to come down to receive a harlot or a half-naked drunk, an addict, dressed with the look and the smell of this world, but one who is a virgin through her faithfulness to him.
Amen.
And is arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. That change can only come through Jesus Christ and his blood. You'll never do it on your own. You'll never, ever have hit, you'll never do it with your righteousness. You'll never do it with your works. So you can go ahead and hang that right up. It's over with. Let me just continue on here. So we see that the Lord promised, he promises us his righteousness. He promised to betroth us in his judgment, in his loving kindness, and his mercies. That's a promise that he's made to us, that he's going to betroth us in those things. I don't know about you, that gets me a little excited to know that he wants to give me those things. It says here, but how do we get these things? Hosea 2:20 says, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. He promises to be faithful to us and expects us to be faithful to him. How many of you are being faithful into what God would have you do? How many are being faithful into what Jesus Christ has called you? Listen, every Christian is called to be something. Called to be a witness. Called to be salt. To go out there and give some flavor to this dead world. This unseasoned world who's lost all of its flavor and anything has to do with God. God's called you out there to be a light. Unto all men. A written epistle so that they can see Jesus Christ in your life. Are you being faithful to that? Here we say, we start relying on our faithfulness to God. Excuse me. When we start relying on our faithfulness to God and not what He gives. On our faithfulness to God and not what He doesn't want us to have or teach us. We become like we in Isaiah 120. Excuse me. Let me just turn to Isaiah 1. I'm getting my tongue all twisted up here. I got time on my mind. I want to get through this. I want to show you some things in here about being faithful to the Lord and being faithful to the house of God. Isaiah chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. Isaiah 1. Verses 21 through 26 said, "How is the faithful city becoming harlot? It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it, but now murders. Thy silver has become dross, and thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after the rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither do the cause of the widow to come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, Ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away the dross and take away thy tent. And I will restore thy judges at thy first and thy counselors at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city." You see, God in His love and His mercy will allow us to encounter such things. That we may be awakened to our unrighteousness and our unfaithfulness to Him. Why? It says that the city was a faithful city at one time. You know, the church was pretty faithful to Jesus Christ. The church was pretty faithful to God at one time. But I believe they've lost that. You look at the homes today. You look at the church pews. You look what's going on. And they've become pretty unfaithful. Until what Jesus Christ, it says that city's become unfaithful, and that's we've become unfaithful in that. But He'll allow us to see this if you would open your eyes and understand what God is trying to show you. He'll allow you to see that your unfaithfulness and your unrighteousness is making you dirty. It's bringing separation between you and God.
Right.
He wants to restore us to where He wants us. Now, here this next thing that I'm going to tell you here. The Lord just gave this to me this morning, and I'm just telling you, it hit me like a ton of bricks. A lot of times we get caught up in telling God where we want Him. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we get caught up in trying to tell God where we want Him instead of listening to where He wants us.
That's right.
Oh, God, I'm going to go here and there. We didn't ask for that. We didn't say, "Lord, if it be by your mercy and your grace, how about this? Would you send me here?" Or like he said, "Would you bring me up to that next level so that I can be more of a help for you?" Instead, we're saying, "God, do this for me so I can do that for you." That's the attitude that the churches have taken on. Now we're praying and telling God what we want Him to do. I think we've got it backwards. We need to pray to God and ask Him, "What would you like me? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this thing? What should I do in this?" And I know myself that I've become so unfaithful in that I just make decisions sometimes on my own without going to God at all. And I'm just going to tell you, my wife can verify, I end up finding myself flat on my face. Because I'm trying to tell God where I want Him. What are some of the ways that God teaches us to be faithful to Him? Hebrews 10:25. Most of you know it. You can probably quote it yourself. Hebrews 10:25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but but exhorting one another so much more and more as you see the day approaching. We know he's coming. We just read it in Hosea and Revelation. He's coming back. He's going to come and get us. He's going to come back down for us. But listen to me. He says that don't forsake yourselves as some are. When he wrote this, he already knew that in 2015, people are going to start forsaking. They're going to start leaving the churches. They're not going to gather together. They're going to stop the assembling of each other. They're not going to come. Churches, hey, you can catch church on TV now. You can catch church on video. You can catch church on the CD, on the radio, whatever. I understand there's certain times if you're traveling or whatever. I understand that. But when we travel, this is something that God taught me and my wife. And you know what it's for? It's for me, my wife, and my two children's safety. That when we travel, try to find some kind of church to get. I'm not talking about going to a Pentecostal church or anything like that. We look for the best Baptist church we can. But anyway, anytime we go on vacation, we already have churches set up where we go. Some people may be on the miss church services, but my father just doesn't let me do it. It's for my protection. That's just between me and my family. How you run you and your family, I'm just telling you, that's on you. I don't judge anybody for it, but I'm just saying, but this is one thing he counts us to be faithful. He expects us to be faithful in. Church service, being where we belong. Why? To exhort one another. Tell me, this week hasn't been wonderful. We've been exhorting one another, been talking and praying. Why would you want to forsake that? Why would that be something you wouldn't want to be faithful to? Listen, when this week is over, God's still going to be in these churches. Doesn't mean just give up because the meeting's over.
Right.
So many people, the meeting's over, that's it. No! God can still meet with you here on a Sunday or on a Wednesday. God can still come in this place and meet with you.
Sure, man.
My goodness. Being faithful to him. Why? Because he's faithful to us. 2 Timothy 2:15. You guys can quote it. But I'm just showing you some things that God calls us to be faithful in. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto man. Wrong. Unto God, being faithful in his word. Why? Because this is how we're going to learn what he wants. We can learn his will for us in our lives. We can understand how to make decisions better. You understand? We need to study to show God, hey, we're serious about this thing, Lord.
That's right. Amen.
We're serious about what's going on. Cannot we be faithful? Listen, he didn't give us a Bible to use it as a thing to hold your books up or hold your door open when it's hot out. He didn't give you a Bible to put it on a shelf to read once in a while to get some comfort when you're having problems.
Right.
Oh, no, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's what it says. He wants you to get in that thing, and he wants you not just to read it, but to study it. Now, listen. When you buy something new and you don't know how to use anything, you'll study them instructions until you learn it. Why won't you do that with a Bible?
Right.
How about that novel? You'll open up that novel and you'll sit there for hours reading it. And it'll avail you nothing. But you won't pick that Bible up and let God show you and teach you things. I'm just telling you, we've lost our faithfulness to that. Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11. Remember, he's going to betroth us to what? His faithfulness. Acts 17:11. You see, our faithfulness is no good. Our faithfulness, it'll never stand. We need him to help us and teach us how to be faithful. That's one of the things that that God broke me on when I got saved. I was off again, on again about church. And the Lord brought me to a place, I said, my goodness. Every single time I miss a service, my family gets destroyed, and I knew where I belonged. I knew where I belonged. Acts 17:11. Then theirs were more noble than in Thessalonica, and that they what? Received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Could you imagine if we had church 7 days a week? There's 168 hours in a week. God only asks for Sunday and Wednesday. And then he asks for you to put about 20 to 25 minutes in reading your Bible every day. Why are these more than Thessalonica? I'm just saying. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness. Are you receiving that word with all readiness? When the man of God gets up here and he preaches to you, are you receiving that thing, or are you getting angry and fighting it? With all readiness. Readiness to what? To do what it says. You know when a message is good? When a man of God gets up here and preaches something, and those people will become more than just hearers of the word. They'll be doers of it. Just telling you. John 14, chapter 23, verses 23 and 24. John 14, verses 23 and 24. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. There's a command for you. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love, do you? How come you're not doing what his word says then? Where's the faithfulness to his word? Where's that love? Where's that faithfulness to him? He asks you, if you love me, keep my words. That's what he says. You say you love me, keep my words. Where's the faithfulness to that? We've lost it. Hang on, let me go on some more. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm not even doing verse 34. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What are we supposed to be faithful to? Seeking God first and his righteousness. But here's what we do. We want to put God on the second burner and use our righteousness to carry us through. That's what we do.
Right.
That's what we get caught up in. Hey, I'm guilty. Like I tell everybody every Sunday, I may get up here and preach this message, but God gives this to me because this is something I have to learn. I just want to share it with you. These are all things that I've learned that my Father's taking time to show me. It's not like I have it perfect. I don't have it perfect and down pat. But you know, he calls me to faithfulness to him. People are all caught up in everything else. Well, I'm caught up in this with God. I'm caught up in that with God. I'm doing this for him. I'm doing that for him. And where's the faithfulness to keep his commandments? Where's the faithfulness to keep his words? Where's the faithfulness to want to stay in the church? Where's the faithfulness to want to get out there and love somebody? Where's the faithfulness to studying and showing yourself proven unto God? You see, we've lost everything else. Now we're trying to tell God what we want to do instead of him directing us what we should do. Lost that faithfulness to it. I thank God that we have a man of God who will get up to us and preach to us on Sundays and Wednesdays and Thursdays if you come. Why does he do that? Because he knows that the Word of God is going to go out there and the Holy Ghost is going to move in that place and it's going to convict your heart, and hopefully you won't be so hard-hearted or stiff-necked that you'll start listening to what the Word says. I love the Bible. I love what it says. I look forward to it every morning. I kid you not. I don't know why it happens to me. And I'm not bragging because I'm no better than anybody. I don't have an S on my chest. I don't walk on water. I still go through trials. I still mess up. You know, I still have to confess 1 John 1:9. But this is what I'm telling you. I get up in the morning and I start getting a ball in my stomach right here. I'm excited about what God's going to show me in his word. I'm just telling you, because you know why? I lived out there for 40 years without any kind of direction in my life whatsoever. No comfort when I got up in the morning. I didn't want to get up unless I had a 40 ounce to go to. I'm just telling you, I didn't. Hey, if I didn't have a line of cocaine or a 40 ounce to turn to, or a big Philly blunt to smoke and a whole bunch of cigarettes and everything else, there was no reason for me to get out of bed. I have a reason now.
Amen.
I have a reason. I thank God for that reason. I'm going to go to Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 20. And it says here, but he showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should what? Repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. How about those works meet for repentance? Are we still being faithful to that? It's what he says we're going to do when we repent.
That's right.
It's what it says that we're going to do when we repent. Are we being faithful to that? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. How about that in your life? Are you trying to tell me Jesus Christ is that weak that he can't change you? Thank God when he saved me, he didn't leave me the same person I was.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, I have works meet for repentance, not because of me, not because of my righteousness, because Jesus Christ's righteousness, because his faithfulness to me has given me faithfulness to him. Not perfect at it. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. And I'm going to close with this here soon. I just got a few more things to say and I'm done. 2 Timothy 2. Verses 24 and 25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach. Patient. And meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. If God peradventure would give them repentance, the acknowledging of the truth.
Amen.
Are we being faithful to that?
Right, brother.
Are we apt to go out there and teach somebody? Are we being patient for those who, oh, how come you're not doing what I say? You just go out there and do what Jesus Christ says to do for them, and let him do the rest. He'll do it. That's what he said he'll do. But he's telling you, don't strive. Don't go out there and be a knucklehead. I mean, are we being faithful? Are we just so wound up in being locked up in our own salvation that we're too blind to see anybody else? There are people who are dying. I don't know how many people die a day, but how many of those are dying and going to hell? How many did you pass up this week that you could have touched? I'm just telling you, I went to camp meeting. I'm not the type to hand out tracts. You asked Tim McVeigh on the way home, I said, where can I get tracts? I've been handing out tracts.
Good.
Just, hey, if I may not be able to talk to somebody, they can read something.
That's right.
What if I passed that one up and I didn't do what I was told?
That's right, brother.
Their bloods are required on my hand. And that's not the only reason. But you know what? I have the God of all hope that lives inside me. Why would I not want them to have the same hope as I have? Don't you want to see people have the life you're getting? What about the changes that went on? What about what happened to you? Wouldn't you want other people to have that thing?
Right.
Are we being faithful? Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and he shall not do it? Or hath he spoken, and it shall not be made good? God says he will be faithful to us. But he requires us to be faithful to him. He will not compromise. There are just some things that God requires of us to remain faithful to him. But they're indeed the most compromised by all Christians. Those few things I give you, there's more to be faithful to God. I just gave you a few. But we compromise those, even those few. We compromise them all the time. We're not being faithful to it. It's very important to learn from the faithfulness of God and to implement it in our lives. Why? Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know you therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant with mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations.
Amen.
He's faithful to you to keep his promise of salvation and to hold you in his hand, and we can't be faithful to him in the little bit of stuff that he asks us. He's the faithful God. That's what it calls him. Deuteronomy 7:9 calls him the faithful God. God is faithful to us. Our life is a testimony to others of the love that we have for God, as was his Moses. Ready? Hebrews 3:5 says, and Moses barely was faithful in all his house as a servant for what? For a testimony of these things which were to be spoken of after. Moses, his life became a testimony because of his faithfulness. His faithfulness in his house, that means everybody he came in contact with, his household, everybody around him, they seen his faithfulness to God. And it became a what, did it say? A testimony. How's your testimony? How's your testimony of faithfulness? Can people see that you really love the Lord? Can they really see that you're really what God has called you to be? Can they see your faithfulness? What are they really seeing? I know too much of the time, they're seeing way too much of me. I know that, but that's why it's important to be faithful. The more you're faithful, the less they'll see of us, and the more they'll see of him. I'm just telling you that. And now, Moses had a great testimony with his faithfulness to God. What would be said of you? And I'm closing with this. Outside of God, we do not know how to be faithful. It shows in our Christian walk. It shows in our homes. It shows in our marriages. It shows in our church attendance. It shows in our tithes. It shows in our testimonies. It shows in our Bible readings. And it shows in our prayer life that we don't know how to be faithful outside of God. As he says in Hosea 2:20, in faithfulness we shall know the Lord. How's that? You want to know the Lord? Be faithful to him. He's a faithful God to you, and he expects you to be faithful to him. Why? Because you'll know him that way. How else will you know God if you can't be faithful to his word? Faithful in church. Faithful to hear the preaching. Faithful that not to only hear, but do what it says. I thank God that he took the time for this week and taught us a lot of things. You know what he did? And I'm going to end with this right here. You know what he did? He showed us his faithfulness.
Sure he did. Yeah.
Amen, amen.
Hey, sure are we going to show him ours?
Yeah, man.
I'm done, Pastor.